Merry Christmas. I hope you had a great day yesterday. Some of us are still going to be celebrating, right? I know for us, the rule in our household is we take any crumbs that are left from our kids. They go off other places, so the day's going to be our day. So I'm kind of excited to be able to get together and open gifts and read presents. I don't know about you, but who doesn't like to receive gifts? Anybody here? I'm so fascinated by the words of the Apostle Paul in Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 35. You know the story. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem, and difficult times are waiting him there. And so his last words, what do you think they would be? He quoted what he said was from Jesus' own lips. He said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive." Would you believe that? Is that true? In fact, Donna told me this morning she got a great gift from her husband yesterday, and it was free. Oh, the guys are listening up. Huh? Yeah, it was free. He said, "Donna, would you like me to play a game with you today? We'll just together, the two of us, play a game." She said, "Oh." She said, "It was the most precious gift for her husband to play a game." For me, that would be the opposite. For my wife to play a game with me, that would be interesting. I was raised on games, okay, but my wife, not so much. Farm girl out working, you know. She's not really into games, so that would be a pretty precious gift if my wife wanted to play a game with me. So I don't know what your gifts look like, but Rodney Moore sent me a picture yesterday. He said it reminded him of a story of my wife and I's early Christmas. Do you remember this story? I think they're going to put it up there. There it is. Yeah. I remember that Christmas well when I bought Connie a vacuum cleaner. And I could tell that she wasn't real excited about it. And so I said, "Well, honey, I can tell you're not real thrilled about this gift, but you wait till the attachments come." I'm telling you, it's going to be awesome. So I don't. Some gifts are not as special as other gifts, but the title of my message this morning for this special Sunday is "Don't Miss the Greatest Gifts of Christmas." And we're going to be looking at Christmas gifts that are recorded for us in this wonderful story, because I think it's possible during this season to miss the gifts that God has given to us. It reminds me of a story I heard recently of a gentleman who was flying, and how many of you know flying right now is pretty difficult, and it's not all that pleasant of an experience. And the problem for this traveler was that he had many connections to make, and so he was on his last leg of his journey. He'd already made two connections and was pretty tired, but this was going to be the last leg of his trip. And so he got off the plane, and he gathered his coat, and he got his luggage, and he stopped at the kiosk in the airport, and he bought him a cup of coffee and a little bag of those little mini donuts. And he thought, "Man, I'm just going to go relax until it's time for my flight. I'm going to eat some donuts and have a cup of coffee." He walked out of the air, and he looked into the seating area, and there was no seats to be found. He thought, "Oh, my, I'm going to have to stand and eat these." And then he saw one seat. There it was over in the corner. It was a two-seater table, and there was already a gentleman sitting in one of the chairs, and he thought, "Ah." So he went over there, and he plopped down in the chair. Have you ever felt this way? And exhaled. Whew, man. Oh, just to be able to sit down. Had his coffee on the table. Opened up the bag of donuts on the table and reached in and took one. Took a bite, began to enjoy it, sipped his coffee, and then to his amazement, the gentleman sitting across from him reached into the bag and took a donut. He was thinking to himself, "My, that is very rude. I've never had anyone do anything like that before, man." So pretty soon he took another donut, and the guy took another one. So he takes the bag and he pulls it close to himself. He thought that would communicate, "These are my donuts, not your donuts." And so they continued for a while, and pretty soon there was just one donut left. And to his amazement, the gentleman on the other side of the table reached in the bag and took the last donut, broke it in half, left half in the bag, ate the other half, smiled and winked at him, took his stuff and headed off for his flight. The guy goes, I'm not going to eat that other. I don't even know where his hands have been, right? I can't, how rude is this anyway? So he sat there for a while. He heard the call for his flight. He got up. He grabbed his coat. He grabbed his luggage. And there was his bag of donuts. Untouched. What he thought was someone taking from him was really someone giving to him. And he missed the gift. He missed the gift of generosity. In Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, we know the story that unto us a child is given. A child will be born, a gift to us, right? A precious gift. You know, God gives to us because of what he wants to do for us. And that is the Christmas story. And I want to share with you, you have an insert today, take it out. If you're at home, just take a little piece of paper and make a little spot. Three easy points today. There are so many gifts in the Christmas story. But I would like for you just to take time to look at three amazing gifts of me. Three incredible gifts that I don't want you to miss, because sometimes I think we feel when we think about God and the Christmas story, we think God's taking from us when really God is giving to us. And these are three gifts that I hope each and every one here in the sound of my voice, whether it's here in this place or somewhere else, will understand these amazing gifts are just for you. And they've been well thought out. And what are the words we want to hear when someone opens a gift we give them? What's the words you like to hear? That's perfect. It's just what I wanted. It's just what I needed. That's these three gifts. Are you ready for the first gift? Amazing, amazing, incredible gift. It is the gift of salvation. Salvation. Well, yes, of course. That is what Christmas is really all about, isn't it? In Matthew 1, verse 20 through 21, here it is, right in the Christmas story. As this is Joseph having his experience in this story, as he considered this, you know, here is why his wife-to-be has just told him she's expecting a child. It's hard for him to get his arms around. He doesn't know what to do. He's a righteous man. He wanted to put her away quietly, but then an angel appears to him in a dream. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's what the name Jesus means, isn't it? The Lord saves. This is the message and the gift of Christmas, isn't it? It's this. Who is it he's going to save? He's going to save his people from their sins. That's me. That's you. It's a gift. It's got your name on it. It's a personal gift. It's for the whosoever, isn't it? It was for the shepherds. It was for the wise men and everybody in between. This is your most precious gift that God has given to you during this Christmas season. You don't want to miss it. It's not that God's wanting to take from you. It's that God's wanting to give to you. Luke 2, another part of the Christmas story in the book of Luke. But now it's the shepherds, right? And the angels reassure them. They appear to them in the fields. They're afraid, of course. He says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David. This is the most precious gift of all, isn't it? Not on the screen, but write it down. John 1, 29, right? The next day when John saw Jesus, this is much later, Jesus is now a man, he's walking, John sees him, they know, and he makes this incredible announcement to the crowd. He said, behold, the Lamb of God who does what? He's come for one purpose. It is to take away the sins of the world. It's why Jesus came. It's why he came. John 3:16. We heard this Christmas Eve, didn't we? For God so loved the world. You could say it without even looking, couldn't you? Don't be like the religious leaders who have the information. But what did they do with it? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the next verse, very important, isn't it? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Is this a credible gift? This gift God has purchased for us. He's given it to us. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Has anybody ever given you a gift and then asked you to pay for it? Would that be a strange experience? Yeah, I left that price tag on there so you'd know how much to make your check out for. You say, well, this is no gift. I heard a story, Pastor Morris the other day was talking about in his congregation, he had a judge. And one day the judge told him, somebody in the congregation came up to him and said, hey, judge, I got this speeding ticket. I was wondering if you could take care of it for me. Judge said, I'll take care of it for you. How many would like to have a judge friend? Yeah. 3 weeks later, the parishioner saw the judge and went up to him and said, judge, did you take care of that ticket for me? He said, I sure did. I paid it. You paid it? I thought you'd do the judge thing and get it dismissed. He said, were you guilty? Yeah, I was guilty. Then I paid it. It was the just thing to do. You asked me to take care of it, so I did. Church, sometimes I think you think God is dismissing your sin. No, he paid for it. He paid for it. He paid the full price because you're guilty. And what you need is, what you deserve is justice, but God has given you mercy. Is this an amazing gift? Don't miss it. It's not God wanting to take from you. It's God wanting to give to you. You ready for the second gift? Oh, this is a great gift, right? The gift of presence and peace. It's all over the story, this whole idea of Emmanuel. Matthew 1, 22 through 23, the story goes on. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Last Sunday, we finished the 23rd Psalm. And we talked about God's presence, didn't we? We talked about it not being a place but a person, and that now God's presence dwelling in us, and it will be for eternity. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that message, grab a hold of it, because God's presence is one of the most precious gifts he's given to you. He's come to be the Savior of the world, but not just to leave us as orphans, but he's given us this gift of presence, God with us, Emmanuel. It's a quote from a prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14. I don't know if you know the story. You can go back and read it, but Judah's surrounded. They're being attacked by Syria and other armies, and Ahaz is the king. He's not necessarily a real godly king, but he's the king, and they're worried about what's going to happen, and the prophet comes forth and wants to speak a word, and the king resists. He really doesn't trust the word. He says, I don't want to test the Lord in this thing. Really, it was that he didn't want to trust the Lord in this thing. And so the prophet speaks to him the words we just read today. And this is like 700 years before it ever happened. This will be a sign to you that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. I just got one question for you. How is that a sign for them? This is going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. How is that a sign for them? I believe The message of Christmas is God's presence, which brings us his peace, because God has a plan and it is being fulfilled. And I think we could easily look at that story and really say, you know what? You don't have to worry about Syria coming against you, Judah, because God has a sign and a promise and a provision for the future, and it's going to happen, and no army is ever going to stop it. I know sometimes it feels like, wait a minute, life is out of control, when I believe God is very much in control. And he was saying, the prophet was saying to Judah in that day, don't worry about this, because I got a plan for you. It's way into the future, and this will be a sign, not just to you, but to us, even here in Wichita, Kansas today. This is the sign. Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 2, 12 through 15. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Who's that for? That's for the wise men, right? They came and they went to Jerusalem and they got directions on where the Messiah would be born, and they went there. It wasn't in the manger, sorry. It was in a house. We don't know how much time has passed. We know once Herod finds out about it, he kills all the male boys 2 years old and under. So they were calculating from the time they saw the star. So they probably allowed some margin for error. They wanted to be sure, because King Herod was set on one thing, and that was eliminating this Messiah, this king. The wise men didn't know it. So they came and they gave their gifts to Jesus, which would become very important practically, because Jesus doesn't, his parents don't know it yet, but they're going to go to Egypt. It's all part of the plan, isn't it? And they're going to need provision, right? And so this is their provision. And then an angel, through a dream, talks to these wise men and says, listen, don't go back to Herod. Because remember, they agreed, Herod, we're going to come back and tell you where he is. And the angel said, don't do that. Go back another way. And then in verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Boy, these angels are busy, aren't they, on Christmas? All these dreams going on. Well, the angel said to Joseph, get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. I want you to notice something here. Sometimes innocent people suffer. Those poor children, can you imagine that died? The mother said, the weeping that went forth, can you imagine as a mother for your child to be ripped out of your arms, his life to be taken? Sometimes innocent people suffer because of sin. But the angel told Joseph, you need to run. So he got up, he took the child, his mother, and during the night, they snuck out in the middle of the night so no one would see them. And they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet in Hosea 11:1. Out of Egypt I called my son. You know what the chances are of all these prophecies being fulfilled? You almost can't imagine what the odds would be. You'd have a better chance of winning the lottery than for all these prophecies to be fulfilled in one person. And here it is. He went, God, does God have a plan? He spoke it hundreds of years earlier. This is a sign to you. Don't worry about that army in Syria, because I'm going to preserve you, because the Messiah is coming through you, okay? It's going to happen. It's all mapped out. Isn't it incredible? Does that give you a little bit of hope? That's God's peace. Knowing that God is holding us in the palm of his hands, that's what the Christmas story is saying to me. In John 14, verse 20, Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Presence. That's what it was all about. In verse 25, I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. How many believe in that promise? It's a promise. The Holy Spirit. It's part of. Have you noticed the Holy Spirit keeps showing up in the Christmas story? How did Mary conceive? What's the scripture say? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always present, and now we're in a whole new dimension of this covenant that the Holy Spirit lives within us. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. My presence will always be with you, and because of that, you will walk in peace. In fact, he says in verse 27, I am leaving you with a gift. Another one? Man, what a gift-giving God. See, you thought he came to take, but he came to give. He says, this is my gift I give to you. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. You know how I know if you've opened that gift? How troubled and afraid are you? Boy, this has been a season of fear. I believe when you have this gift, what Jesus said is true. He's going to fill you with his presence and his peace. And even if you're having to run in the middle of the night to go to Egypt, you can do it in peace. Even if you get the pink slip at work, you can go home in peace because of God's presence, because God's got a plan. And that's what the Christmas story tells me. You ready for the last gift? Let's open this one. Oh, this is a gift I love. It is the gift of joy. Joy. In Luke 1, 39 through 44. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. They were kinfolk, okay? Elizabeth was pregnant. She'd been pregnant for 6 months. We know that story well. That's a whole nother sermon. Mary shows up at Elizabeth's house. Listen, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, that's all it took. Hi, Elizabeth, how you doing? When she heard her greeting and her voice, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. There he is again. He keeps showing up. He's everywhere, isn't he? Just by her greeting alone, that baby leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she said this. She gave this proclamation. Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored? Well, that's an interesting word. Favored. Chariz. Charismatic, grace gifts, that's another word for grace, isn't it? Seven times in the New Testament, it's translated as favor, but over 100 times it's translated as grace, because same thing, and we say grace is the unmerited favor of God. She says, why am I so favored? I want you to feel favored today. I want you to feel what Elizabeth felt. You are so favored. You are so favored by God. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of her greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. I believe it's a natural response. If you don't have joy, if you're not walking in joy today, you've missed the most precious gift of all. It is Jesus himself. He doesn't just give us peace, but he gives us joy. Remember our definition of joy? It's not on the screen. You should know it by now. If not, write it down. The joy of the Lord is a delight in God that is not affected by pain or pleasure. Boy, hard days were coming, but joy was still present. It's part of the gift, isn't it? It's not on the screen, but Luke 1:47. Mary is proclaiming this incredible thing that's happened. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I read that yesterday morning because it was in my devotional book because it's Christmas. And I had this thought, whatever you magnify is what will bring you joy. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. It's a natural outcome. You don't have to work this up. You don't have to pump it up. I'm going to be joyful. No, this is a gift from God. In Luke 2:10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. These are the shepherds. See, there's joy everywhere in this story. I bring you good news that will cause great joy to all the people. All the people. So if you haven't got the joy, you're missing out on what Christmas is all about. This is one of the gifts that God wants to give to us. In verse 17, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them and this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. You think these guys were a little bit excited? See, you can't hide joy. You can't hide that delight. It's going to be evident to all. And Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. They affected her as well. I wonder if she remembered it when she stood by the cross. I wonder if she thought about the words of the shepherd. I think she did, because you know, moms, how you hide things in your heart. It was always there. She remembered those things. And then in verse 20, the shepherds returned, doing what? Glorifying and rejoicing and praising God. It's a natural response, isn't it? No. It's a supernatural response by the hand of God. For all the things they had heard and seen, they rejoiced over, which were just as they had been told. Is that amazing? Joy. Joy. Salvation, that's a pretty important gift. Presence and peace comes with the package. And joy is hot on your trail. It's pursuing you. I want you to know, John 15:11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. And your joy, I like the way the NLT says it, because you know what this is about. Will overflow, all right? We've been talking about our cups overflowing this month. Joy is part of the overflow. The cup is your capacity. The overflow is God's capacity. It's God's joy. And he's put it within us, and it overflows. It gets a little messy at times, maybe. We get a little excited. Is that okay? Now, I know some of your personalities are very reserved. Some of us are not so much. Some of us get excited. I get pretty pumped, excited. In fact, I saw this shirt. I asked my wife to get it. It says, what was it? It says, my 70 years. I've had 70 years of my childhood. You know, 70 years. My first 70 years of my childhood, that's what it was. That's what Connie says it's like at our house. But, you know, I just can't help it. I'm so excited. And, man, this life is short, and I'm wanting to make the most of it, right? And I think one of the things that will help you do that is to have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. And some of you are pretty weak. It's because you don't have joy. But if you understood the grace of God, if you understand the forgiveness of God, if you understand the presence and peace of God, how could you not be delightful and joyful? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't understand. I got this and this and this and this. Hey, listen. Mary and Joseph are running for their lives in the dark. People want to kill them. Don't, come on. See the whole story. Babies are dying and blood is being shed. The story's not as pretty as we often want to make it. And yet in the midst of it, God is sending us these gifts. Is that right? Psalms 51:12, we know this well. David, he has sinned in a gross way. I mean, we could all say, well, I'm not as bad as David. David slept with another man's wife and then had him killed. Anybody here done that? And God pursues David with goodness and mercy. He doesn't deserve it. He comes and takes his sin. And David seeks the Lord in repentance. And by God's grace, he is forgiven. He's that judge in the story we talked about. He didn't dismiss his sin. He paid for it. He paid for it. And what is David's response? This should be yours. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Well, he doesn't say mine. He says your salvation. Because isn't it God's salvation that's come down to us? Yeah, it is, isn't it? He gave it to me. And David says, would you restore that joy back to me and make me willing to obey you? Give me an obedient heart. It is the work of God. I was having a conversation with somebody this week, and we were talking about, we don't want to sin. It's not our desire to sin. We want to live righteous before the Lord, not so we can be accepted by God, but we want to live righteous because we've been accepted by God. Do you understand the difference? Some of you think you're trying to earn your way. And the story of Christmas is you can't. And God has made this provision for you, and he is giving to you. He's not wanting to take from you. The The weary traveler misunderstood the guy with the donuts and coffee, didn't he? He thought, this guy is reaching in my bag and taking my stuff, when all along, the guy was giving to him what was in his sack. Is that amazing? Don't misunderstand the gift. It's being given to you. I want to give you a quote I read this week from John Acuff. He said, I thought this was incredible. Because I think joy sometimes is a choice for us. He said this. He said, if you look hard enough, you'll always be able to find a reason to complain. Is that true? But then he said, if you look hard enough, you'll always be able to find something to celebrate. The first approach takes a lot less work than the second. But the first approach will always end in worry. But the second approach will always end in wonder. So make your choice today. It is a choice. We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to rejoice in. Why? Because my sins have not been dismissed. They've been paid for. I have salvation. It's come to me through the story of Christmas, through Christ's sacrifice. We know what's coming. The cross is coming. But without the cradle, there can be no cross. And so we celebrate his arrival, Emmanuel, God with us. It's the only religion in the world where God's come to give to us. Most religions, it's what can you give to God? Jesus says, I've come for you. He slid his bag of donuts across the table. Yeah, I already paid for them, but they're yours. You can take them. What a precious gift we've been given. And so we have God's peace. We have his presence, Emmanuel, God with us. And now we overflow with joy. Overflow. I'm not talking quarter tank, half a tank, full tank. I'm talking about the gas is running out of the nozzle, okay? It's running onto the ground. It's more. You can't contain it. It's more than enough, this joy that God's wanting to put within us. My wife's not real thrilled about this. But when I see these little poppers, these are streamers. I bought enough so you can all have some today. When you leave, there's a basket out there. They're called joy streamers. My wife is concerned because it says, caution, flammable. Use only under close adult supervision. She immediately took it away from me. Do not point either end towards face or other people. Hold in hand, jerk string. Okay, does everybody understand those instructions? Okay. It's not going to stop you from doing it, though, is it? I'm telling you. I want you to take a couple of these home with you today. Don't do them here in the church or we'll be in big trouble. But outside or at your home, I want you to pause today and think about the gifts that's God given to you, because I believe it's a reason for a party. Because the only reason you only buy these at party stores. You don't get these at a funeral home. You get these at the party store. And I believe we got a lot to be happy about. So I want you to do what John told us to do. I want you to think hard about what you have to be grateful for. And at the right time, whether it be today, tomorrow, next day, I want you to take your streamer and pull that puppy and say, praise God for the gifts that God has given me. Can you do that? See, some of you are going, I'm not into this at all. I'm telling you, my wife's not into this at all. Hey, trust me, you'll get into it. All right, it'll be so much fun. But I want you to have that streamer kind of joy. Can you? One amen. I want you to have that streamer kind of joy. That's it. Amen. Amen. So what's your one thing today? Beyond the streamer. What's the one thing today that God has spoken to your heart? I believe every Sunday God will speak one thing into your heart, whatever it is. Is it you need the restoration of the joy of your salvation? Is it possible that you've never even received that gift today? Terry, I told your story Christmas Eve. Hope it was okay. If you were here, you know the story. But Terry was in my office this week, and he was telling me his story of how he came to the Lord. I love to hear these stories. And Terry, he was a heroin addict, LSD, did it all. Was in Vietnam, right? Yeah. And you came to Jesus before your wife, is that right? Or did she came to?
Yes.
Yeah. God spoke to Terry's heart one day, because Terry, he was closed off to God. He was resistant. And his doors were locked in his heart. And one day, through a sequence of events and other people, God spoke to Terry's heart, said, listen, Terry. Because Terry was afraid to open the door. And God spoke to him and said, Terry, just unlock the door. Just unlock it. And he did. Revelations 3:20. We've quoted every week. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. That's an invitation for all of us today. Do you understand the gift that's been given? It's a gift. It's a free gift. He hasn't come to take. He's come to give. He's come to give to you today. That is the greatest gift of all. Amen? Is that it? Or is it his peace? His presence? Have you lost your peace this year? Get it back. It's not the peace of the world. The world can't give you this peace. Just forget it. If you're looking for it to get it in the world, you're not going to get it there. It's something you get from God. Ask him for it. He will give it to you. Or is it your joy? Do you need that joy back? Some of you have lost your joy, and God's going to give it back to you today. Amen? And if you think hard enough, you have a reason to pull the streamer. And it's not a, gee, I'm really grateful. Sure, grateful. God's good. No. Glory to God. I so want to pull this right now. I so want to. I'm telling you, glory to God. Amen. I got two of them. There. Oh, glory to God. I'll clean it up, okay? Some of you need to make a mess. You're so tidy. You're so organized and structured. If you really understood these gifts, if you really understood these amazing gifts, you'd be overflowing with joy today. Amen? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to gather with my friends this day after Christmas. Oh, it's a great season. We love it so much. But help us not to miss the real gifts of Christmas. We don't want to be like the guy in the airport. He didn't understand what was being given to him. And so, Lord, today we come to the table and we take the cup and we take the bread and we receive it as your gift to us today and we celebrate it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son. The most planned pregnancy in all time. You orchestrated it. Your timing is perfect. And it's been offered to us now as a free gift. Forgive us for misunderstanding it. Help us to receive it in its fullness today. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your presence. The Holy Spirit and the peace that comes. Thank you for the joy that is not affected by pain or pleasure. Thank you. We are blessed today, overflowing, and we are grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? We've spent this entire month talking about hope, and we've went over it and over it. I hope your heart is overflowing. But it's not just for this Advent season. It's for 24/7 every day. This hope Jesus, he is our anchor, trustworthy anchor of our soul. And it leads us into the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. That's what Christmas did, because it made possible for Jesus to come and to offer himself as a sacrifice for my sins. Not to dismiss them, but to pay for them. Wish I had another popper. Oh, God. I see some of you getting together today, your whole family at one time, popping them. Go for it, man. But rejoice in what God has done. What has God done in our lives? Amen. Father, I pray over this congregation. I love them. What a great season. We're looking forward to the new year. Lord, you've already been there. You've already been to the end of it even. So we're going to trust you in it. You've already written in the pages, and we're going to turn them. And it's all going to be for your name's sake. Thank you for this journey that you brought us through in this time of great hope. May we continue to walk in it. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Go in God's love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.